It's wonderful for you all to be in service tonight. It has been a good day. The gospel this morning, heard all that. The ribs, enjoyed all of that. And went to Walmart, endured all of that. And got back to the room and got some phone calls from back home and dreaded all of that. But I am glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I've just hardly ever been able in my entire life just to preach for preaching's sake. Now, you may not know what I'm talking about, but some of the guys, but I've never got up on a Sunday morning and just said, my duty today is to grace the pulpit for 35 minutes and tell them about heaven, since I haven't preached on it in the last 3.5 years, and see if we can beat the Baptist folks to the steakhouse. Never. It's never been that way with me. I tell you how it is with me. On a Wednesday night, on a quiet night, on a Wednesday night, in my church in West Plains, with as many folks as I know sitting out there that's saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and all the rest of them that's on the edges, that just keeps life exciting. I lied into an altar call, and act like everybody in the house is lost. I do. After I get through preaching, I just lied into an altar call because I just have a desire. If I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be it, and I'm going to have it, and I'm going to feel it, I just have a desire to win the thing. I have a desire for that. I do. I have a desire for it. I appreciate big crowds and good offerings. And I really love them ribs. Was there any left? Now be honest with me. Okay, he's shaking his head no for all of you folks. It's kind of a little Greek exchange here. That was Greek for no when he do that class. Me and my brother and my mom, to get us all in one vehicle is one thing. And to get us in one vehicle from Illinois all the way to Columbus, Georgia, that's two things. When I got to Columbus, Georgia, and I climbed out of the vehicle and I walked inside, the first thing that my aunt said to me was, Joe Adele, go upstairs and see if you can talk some sense into your uncle. I've been on the road all day with Mom and my brother. And so I went over to the staircase and I looked up at it, and I knew that he was just as obstinate as I am. And I climbed up the stairs and went in and I said, Uncle Bob, I said, what in the world have you done? Why is Aunt Elsie in such a wad? And he said, oh, that woman. He got my attention immediately. I'd been with one all day like that. He got my attention immediately. And he said, oh, that woman. He said, she orders a hospital bed for me and puts me down there in the hospital bed, leaves me down there in that hospital bed. And he said, I don't want to be in a hospital bed. I want to be in my bed where I'm at right now. I want to be in my bed where I'm at right now. And I said, well, how did you get up here? And he said, I timed Elsie. Different times of the night, she'll get up and go to the bathroom. I grab my little watch and I click it. See just how much time I have. And he said, when all of that transpired, he said, I got my watch and I said, I've got 8 minutes. He said, I rolled out of bed, belly crawled across the floor, went up the staircase on my elbows and my knees. When I got into my room, he said, I went over to the side of the bed and I opened the drawers on the dresser. And he said, I crawled up them until I could throw myself over here on the bed. And he said, this morning when she got up, she was mad because I was in my own bed. He said, now go figure that. I said, I can't figure it. I mean, he was making it look so good. I wish I was laying over there on the other side with him. He said, I want you to step over there to the closet and get that little brown little paper sack thing down. And I stepped over there and got it and opened it up. And when I did, I flipped it open to a page there that had commendations written on the outside of it. Stuff, you know, that I really didn't notice and care a whole lot about, but seemed like he was interested in it. So I looked at it. And he said, just flip that little box open. And I did, and I saw his purple heart. And I saw his bronze star. And I saw his silver star. And then he said, Jodell, move them coats back there a little bit and just look back there in the back of the closet. And I did, and there was his army uniform, crisp, with the major's clusters on the lapel. And he said, you know why I'm up here? He said, because I wanted to be up here. He said, that's why I'm up here. And he said, you know why you're going to make it doing what you do for a living? And I said, tell me. He said, because you want to make it. Yeah. And I said, so the Purple Heart. He said, oh, yeah, it's in a little book. He said, I'll have him look it up at the library and send it to you. He said it was Million Dollar Hill. He said Million Dollar Hill surrounded by communist Chinese, Korean War. He said the hill wasn't worth anything, but they thought it was, and we thought it was. And he said they sent me up there to hold the hill. And he said, I held it. He said, I held it with just a handful of troops. He said, I held it. He was a lieutenant then. His major clusters came from battlefield. Whatever they give him, commendations. Just hang on. He said, that million-dollar hill, he said, had two real big problems. He said, big problem number one was, there was a lot of Chinese trying to get up on that hill. And he said, problem number two, I was on that hill and I didn't want them to have it. Don't everybody jump up and go to shouting right now. You're going to miss something if you do. He said, one of the times that I radioed down and told them that it was getting very, very crucial that I was going to have ammo in just a little while, he said, one of them guys down there in his lawn chair leaned back in the radio and he said, how's it coming up there, Lieutenant? And he said, I told that backyard quarterback that if he'd just send me the ammo, that I'll take care of the real estate. He had 8 minutes between Aunt Elsie getting up and going, now listen. Listen, I ain't done. He said a little bit later on, he said they radioed and said that they had just noticed a large concentration of Chinese coming up one side of the hill and that the tank commanders could not get to the top of the hill in time and bring ammo. It's in this little paper thing here. You can read it. He said, when my troops looked at me and said, what are we going to do about ammo, he said, when we run out, we will wrestle. I don't want everybody to jump up and shout at once. That's why some people are still stalking toilet paper in places that don't even want a job or have any kind of desire to be something. And some people have a desire to hold a little piece of real estate and fight for it, if you have to, on a foreign soil and win hearts and stars and all kinds of stuff because they're patriots. And I didn't know that story. I didn't know that story when I started doing this. But I'm telling you, there's been times that I've timed it. And I knew I just had about 30 minutes to reach out there and grab somebody in that congregation. And I might have to belly crawl. And I know it's going to be a long flight to the top. But every once in a while when we've walked out of the battle, I had another commendation and somebody else had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Desire. You hear me? Desire. That's what I'm talking about. It's Memorial Day. Desire. You think you're sitting here because of your looks? Desire. Somebody had a desire to keep... When Lieutenant Commander Gilmore ran into the barrage in the Philippines and lost his weapon, all he had with him was his 45, and recognizing that the enemy was too far out, he turned and he reached down to get one of his fallen comrade's rifle, and it was jammed. A young man standing there beside him said, "Commander, let me get that rifle in working order for you." And in the next 30 or 45 seconds, that boy took a hit in his arm. He took a bullet to the side of his head. He took a bullet in his leg. And he took a bullet in his ankle that completely dropped him to the ground. And all the while, working on unjamming that rifle. And when he clicked that shell out and slammed that magazine in and handed it over to the commander, the kid said, "My desire is for you to shoot that thing." Now listen, okay, it's okay. There's been headaches that's knocked me out too, but it's got to be a mighty big headache when I'm in the middle of a battle. And I know there's been times, I know, sometimes a crowd and different people coming in and a hard week and a lot of labor and a lot of pressure. I know, but there's some things. I mean, there are some people that have bled and died and walked hillsides and preached this gospel. They have lived on hardly nothing. Their children lived on hardly nothing. Their clothes were ragged. The vehicle they drove was about to fall apart. The congregation didn't have enough money to give them an offering, so they paid them with chicken eggs and a hog once a year. I'm telling you, I am not going to come on the battlefield with no desire in my heart. I'm coming out there to win. And when I see that I can't pull the trigger, I'm going to holler, "Amen, glory be to God. Brother Savage, pull the trigger." And when I can't pull the trigger, I'm going to holler, "Brother Randy, pull the trigger." And that desire that wells up deep down on the inside of me, it's not something that gets you out of church early, and it's not something that gets you out of church with your hair all in place. And it's not something to get you out of church with your suit still pressed and spit shined and your necktie straight. It's not that kind of desire. No, sometimes you look like that you've been fighting hell, and that's cause we was. Sometimes it looks like that you've been fighting the very demons of hell, and that's because we are. Because, brother, sister, it's a battlefield. It's a battlefield. It's a battlefield on Wednesday night when my people drag in, sat down on a pew, wipe the perspiration off their foreheads, and glad that the weeks have. It's a battlefield then. It's a battlefield now. It'll be a battlefield at Bristow. And I'm just going to tell you something. I'm getting a little older. It's a whole lot easier for me to give orders now than it is to do the running. But I'm going to tell you something. I have a desire in this service right now for somebody to throw off the spirit of depression, to throw their hands straight up to a God and tell Him it's been won before. We can win it again tonight and come out of there delivered. I have that kind of desire. That's the kind of desire, God. That's the kind of desire. Oh, yeah. I get mesmerized by preaching. And I get mesmerized. I love it. I mean, I love it and I feast upon it. But I'm telling you what I really love. I really love to see the enemy recognize that he joined the fight, that he just might not be able to win tonight. That's the kind of services I like. I've been in services that were so dead and dry. I'm telling you that a cockroach would have been revival if he could have run across the front of the floor. In a revival out in one of the states that's connected to the USA. You got to be careful. CDs and UCs and overseas and all the rest of the stuff on these computers will beat you to the house. I'm telling you, that church, that revival started off about as exciting as a good case of shingles. I mean, I'm not talking about your house. I mean, that revival started out with it looked like everybody in the room had a root canal. I never seen anything like it. I mean, it was about as exciting as an earache. And all of a sudden, God sent reinforcements. That mouse come out of that side room, true story, come across the front of that church and went down that aisle. And I'm telling you, the move was on. Don't tell me you can't find your desire. You look down right now underneath your feet and see what's laying there. It might change your mind right now, even where you're sitting in your padded pew. I mean, brother, sister, there is a desire that's out there, and it can be had, and it can be felt. And it's not just up to the pulpit to pump the tire and get us in that mode. It's up to us to say, hand me that rifle. Give me that sword. I'm going to get something from God if hell has a heart attack. Well, I'm just going to tell you something, brother. I didn't come tonight with that determination. I'm going to tell you something, brother or sister. Your battlefield commendations are probably way down the list of what you could have and what you could have been. There is a God looking down upon this church on this very Monday night, recognizing that in this room, there's people that don't have the Holy Ghost. Have you got a desire to get it? He looks in this room and sees that there's people in this room that aren't saved and sanctified. Do you have a desire to come out of the sin and become a real winner? Now listen, get a phone text a little while ago, Dwayne, not Gallagher, another Dwayne. He said, how can I get in the jail to see one of my church members that's on a suicide watch? And I said, all different jails are different. I said, you can contact the boss and see what he says about it. And I said, the sheriff or the chief can open up the corridor and let you walk on in. I said, sometimes the family is a key instrument in it. They contact the law enforcement agency and says, I want our pastor to come in and talk to this family member. I stood there and I thought a minute, man, he's just a young'un, and I didn't want to get him in trouble. But what I wanted to peck in this little keypad. I wanted to say, and then sometimes you just have to go down there and kick in the door and tell them I have come. on business for the king. That's what I wanted to tell him. You hear me? That's what I wanted to tell him. And I almost wish that I had of. But I would have probably had to go on and seen both them guys before the thing's over with. But did you dream that when you come in this church tonight, did you dream that with just a little desire, you could get up out of that seat and step into an aisle and march down to this altar, kick the door open, step inside and tell God, it's my desire to have the touch of heaven, to feel the power of God. It's my desire to know that my sins are forgiven and that I'm filled with... Did it dawn upon anybody that right now you could be seeking and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now, how does a person go about doing that? He desires the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. I don't campaign for meetings. In fact, this has been a glorious year. I've stayed home more this year than I have in a long time. I've got so used to being around the house that the cats won't hardly eat when I'm gone. I mean, it's been a good year. But I'm telling you, I didn't bow out on my own merits. There's been a few skirmishes along the road that's preoccupied me, and I just was fighting a battle in a different quarter. But when I do get in the house of God, and I do drive all the way to Virginia, and I do hear the likes of Brother Bill Prescott and hear the likes of Brother Charles Barnett, I lean back and say, I want to be a soldier like that. I want that word of God to come alive in my heart. And until you feel that way, you'll never reach out and get a thing. I'm just having an awful time getting to my text. I'm telling you, I have a burning desire. I've never been in such of a dead, dry, pulling hard, nail-biting service in my life as one night at a camp meeting in the United States of America. I'd never been there before. I could tell. Some of them had never met me. And after the first 30 minutes of scrutiny, I could tell that I was not going to be put on some of their Christmas lists if I'd have stayed there for a month. I knew I was into it all the way up to my gizzard. My sweetheart was laying sick over in the trailer, not able to be there in the house of God. And it was me, myself, and I, and Grit, that walked into that little tabernacle and up there behind that pulpit. I know that it was a big crowd, and I know that we was singing good, and I know that it was going to be a battle uphill, until lo and behold, from the back of the house, some little old grandma, shucked out of that seat, come tripping down that aisle, went to shouting the power of God and the blessings of God. And I'm telling you, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they were still leading people out of that tabernacle. That's desire. You hear me? That's desire. Not just to talk about the sickness, but to see God stand and say, peace, be still. That's desire. That's desire. I have that desire right now. I do. I have that desire right now. I ain't joking you. I have it. There ain't nothing in this house tonight I'd rather see than some boy jump up right now and say, my God, I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want these men to gather around and pray for me because I got a battle to win. There ain't nothing I'd rather see than some dad and mom stand up together and say, we got some lost children and we got a battle we need to win and we need the saints to rally around. I have a desire for God to do something in the house. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. I'm telling you, my wife, she knows me better than I know myself. Just ask her. No, don't ask her. Just scratch that last statement. Forget I even said anything about it. But I'm telling you, there's some times when I come into the house of God, I have my Bible secured, and I have my paper clips loaded, and I've got four or five different things to choose from out of the closet. But it's my desire for the Holy Ghost to come down in that church, touch that congregation, knock us flat on our feet, spin us into the glory world, and cause us to walk out of a building so renewed with the fire revival fire of God that we wondered, how have we made it this far without it? Now listen, I got a full-fledged, I mean blowed all out of shape, message in this Bible that's found over in the book of Psalms, and it has something to do with my desire. It's in there. It's in that book. And I'm telling you, there's something about that word. I wished I could give you the Greek for it, or the Hebrew for it. Right now, I'd give you the Pig Latin for it if I thought it would help somebody lean back and say, I don't want to know what it means. I want to know what it feels like. I'm telling you, sometimes I just toss in the peanut farm to hear somebody say, I've heard them talk about it, and I've heard them preach about it. I'm going to come out of there and receive it tonight. Sometimes that grabs me like that. I can't help it. It's just my desire. It's just my desire. You hear me? I didn't desire to have my throat operated on two or three different times, cutting off them polyps on my vocal cords to hear the doctor say, you've got to quit yelling. You come by me that one more time. You really need to see our speech trainer. Okay? I'll be glad to. So I walked in and sat down, didn't we, honey? And she, first mistake. I mean, speech trainer, it's a she. She probably had a doctorate. Okay. She looked at me, and she said, you're not a singer, are you? I said, no. She said, you a preacher? I said, yes, I am. She said, you Pentecostal preacher? I said, yes, I am. She said, this session isn't going to do any good. I don't know if it would have been legal to make her a deacon, but I'd have found some position for her if she'd have started coming to my church right then, because I locked her right out of, I mean, just right off the top. Because she said, most Pentecostal preachers that come in to talk to me will not listen because they don't have any intention of changing. I don't sit there and look at me like that. I'm telling you, I have no intention of changing. I have no intentions of letting my desire change. I have no intentions of not being still mesmerized when somebody will step out and show a whole congregation the back of their head and say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm hungry for a wave of glory. I'm telling you, I still like stuff like that. That's still what revival's made out of. That's what fellowship, that's what camp meetings is made out of. It ain't made out of you looking at me. It's made out of us saying, there's a God in here that can do anything. And I'm going to put him to the test. You know, sometimes with these altar calls, get right in the middle of a message. And I ain't been able to figure out why it don't happen all the time. Woo! I tell you, sometimes. Now listen, I am not going to go to Psalms, and I'm not going to read you my text. I'm going to stand up here in this pulpit. I'm going to tell you something. You've come too late to tell me that if you really desire it, God won't let you have it. You've come too late. You've come too late to tell me that the old-fashioned way of coming down an altar and raising your hands is out of date. You've come too late for that. You've come too late to tell me it's just for the young. You've come too late to tell me it's just for the old. I'll tell you who it's for. Whosoever will, that desires a move of God. You know what I'd do if I was you and I needed a healing? I'd make a quick choice. Either hope that God does it in the parking lot or trusting to do it around an old-fashioned altar. And I'd come this direction if hell had a heart attack. Tell you what I'd do if I was you and I'd been seeking the Holy Ghost and I felt like it wasn't for me. I'd come out of there. I'd come down to this altar. I'd lift my hands and I'd tell God, I desire a move of the power of God. But I'm just a visitor. I don't even go to this church. I'm just a visitor too. And I'm putting everything I got into this church. Woo! And I'm telling you, it's Monday night, and I've had a hard day. I'm telling you, it's Monday night, and I've had a